some 10 or 12 years earlier, I find that Paul and Silas were in Asia Minor. They were visiting some churches that had been established with Paul on Paul's first missionary journey. And now Silas is with him, and they have visited the churches, and they've established other churches. And they come to Troas. And when they arrived in Troas, Paul had in his mind, I want to go over into Asia. I'd like to carry the gospel to Asia. And the Holy Ghost spoke to Paul and said, no, Paul. He wanted to do a good thing. Preach the gospel in Asia. And God said, no, Paul. And that night, God gave him a vision. And in the vision, there was a man over in Macedonia. Said, come over and help us. And the Bible said, Paul and Silas, realizing that this was God's green light for them, for this is God's will for them to go over into Macedonia, over into Europe. Not into Asia, but into Europe. Into Macedonia. While they were there, Paul and Silas preached, and they were beaten, and they were imprisoned and put in the jail. And you know the story how that while they were in the stocks at about midnight singing the praises of God, the Bible says God sent an earthquake and shook the foundations of the jailhouse, and the doors swung open wide, and the jailer awakened and thought that the prisoners were escaped. And Paul cried out to him, do thyself no harm, we're all here. And the jailer ran to Paul and said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved in thy house. And that night, the jailer was saved and baptized in water. And his family was saved and baptized in water. And before they left there, a church had been established in Philippi. And now some 10 or 12 years later, Paul is writing a letter to the believers back there at Philippi. He's writing from his Roman jail cell. He's in jail again, this time in Rome. He's awaiting execution. He doesn't know when the last day will be of his life. But with all of that facing him, I want you to think about this. Knowing that his life is going to be taken one of these days, and it might be today, it might be tomorrow, but he did not know. His life was going to be taken from him, and he had joy in his heart. Now, you've got to be a real believer to have joy in your heart at that time. And he picks up his pen with a heart full of thanksgiving, and he begins to write a letter to those believers back in Philippi that the church had begun with. He and Silas were there preaching the gospel, and I thought about it as I was studying and preparing the sermon, and as Paul began to say, I thank God for you. Listen to this, if you will. Almost every letter that Paul wrote, he begins it with giving thanks. That's a good way to start every day. Give God thanks for being so good. Amen, amen. And so, I find that Paul doesn't just say, I thank God, he says in that third verse. He said, I thank my God. He's expressing the fact that he has a personal experience with the Almighty God, a relationship with God himself. And he said something similar in the 7th chapter, the 27th chapter of Acts. And while he was on his way to Rome, remember how he got there in a ship. He's appealed to Caesar, and they're sending him from Jerusalem and Caesarea to Rome. And while they're on the ship, the Bible says they're caught in a storm. And out there in the storm, it looked like they were going to lose everything. They began to pray, and they began to fast and pray. And Paul said, listen to these words. He said, I pray, I exhort you to be of good cheer. They're in the middle of a storm. I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Paul said, he's mine and I'm his. And I'm going to echo that same thing. He's mine and I'm his. Now, that's going to be enough to shout about for the first 1,000 years in glory. I am his and he is mine. Praise God, praise God. That's something to rejoice about. And then in the third verse again, and I'll read it. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Without doubt, Paul was remembering that night that he and Silas were in Philippi, and how God had blessed them, the door swung open, and all that had taken place, and a church had been established. And now how that he had baptized and they were saved and God had blessed and they were family members that were there that loved God. And he was giving thanks to God. Now let me just share a testimony that is up to date. Paul's looking back after 10 or 12 years, writing to the Philippians, saying, I thank God for you. Every time I think about you, I thank God for you. We went to the mailbox this week, or last week, maybe a week before. Got a Christmas card. And as we began to read what the person said in the Christmas card, she said, I remember the greatest Christmas we ever had. She said it was 1960. We had just gotten saved that year. And we had never had a Christmas like it. It was the greatest Christmas we've ever had. Because they had now become Christians. I thought, did you know serving God is the greatest life in the world? That is 51 years ago, and that woman said, this is the greatest Christmas. 1960 was the greatest Christmas that we've ever had, because when we came to that Christmas, we never knew the Christ of glory in our hearts until then. We never knew what it really meant to be saved until then. She said, I was raised in church, and we knew that. I was raised in church, I went to church, but I was never saved until 1960, and that Christmas was the best we ever had. Let me leave something with you tonight. Serving God is the best life in the world. I recommend it to everyone, everybody that I can find that will listen. It's the best life for anybody to live, serving and living for God, serving the Lord. And Paul is saying to the Philippians, I thank God every time you come to my mind. I thank God. Let me read on from the third verse. I thank God, my God, upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Hallelujah, for your fellowship in the gospel. That stood out to me, so I want to mention that as well. Paul is not saying, I thank God for the fellowship that we have enjoyed when I was there and since I left there. He's not saying for the fellowship that you and I had, or you had for me and I have for you. He's saying, I thank God for the fellowship that you and I had in laboring for God, in spreading the gospel, in sharing the good news. Let me just tell you what the Bible says. After Paul and Silas left Philippi, remember, they didn't have an abundant life tabernacle back in Jerusalem sending them money every month. They didn't have a missions department in Oklahoma City or Springfield, Missouri or Cleveland, Tennessee, headquarters of the three largest Pentecostal groups, or three of the four largest Pentecostal groups in America. And no backing. And when Paul and Silas left Philippi, they went to Thessalonica. And they preached. And one day a messenger came and brought them a gift from Philippi. And the Christians at Philippi said, we want to share helping you to preach the gospel. Paul left there and went on to Berea. Left Berea, went on to Corinth. And when he got to Corinth, a messenger came and Philippi, a young church, young converts, blessed by God, saved in the ministry of Paul and Silas. They sent another gift because they knew in pioneer evangelism there's no money. There's no members. There's no saved people. You're starting afresh and anew. And the young converts in Philippi sent a gift while they're in Corinth. And now Paul is writing to the Philippians, and listen to this. He's in jail. He's in Rome. He's going to be executed. And one day, a messenger comes and brings him a gift from Philippi, from the Philippian church, and saying, I want you, we want to be a part of your ministry. You have preached and God is blessed. You've suffered tremendously for the gospel's sake, but we want that. Paul is now saying, I thank God for the fellowship of your laboring together. I thank God not just that you've sent me money, but I thank God that you're involved. The fellowship we've enjoyed in reaching the lost. Amen. That means something.
This Christmas time we got a lot of cards, and some of them only had a signature, and there was no need to put them all on the board, but we got a card from the Southeastern Correctional Ministry, the jail ministry. We got a card from the food bank. We got a card from the Salvation Army. We got a card from Gospel for Asia and for People to People. We got that this week. And they go, and Wycliffe Translators and American Bible Society and some others. We got cards thanking the church, some we don't even support now, thanking the church because we have helped out over the years in co-laboring together and winning the loss. I believe this with everything within me. If we'll be obedient to God, there's going to come a day when the books are open around the throne of glory, and there's going to be some from the north and the south and the east and west are going to come to those of you in the Abundant Life Tabernacle. We might not be very large. We might not be very powerful in this world, but let me say something. As you give the spread the gospel, God is blessing. Amen, amen. Paul, with a heart full of thanksgiving, facing death, I thank God at every remembrance of you. And I want to encourage you. I exhort you. I thank you out of the depths of my heart for the way that you have responded over the years. You have helped in spreading this glorious gospel. And then I come to the sixth verse. Paul has no reservations about the salvation of these converts in Philippi. They've made a commitment, a dedication, a vow to God, and they're keeping it. Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Until the day that Jesus returns for the church. Until the day of the rapture. Until the day we receive our glorified body. And the writer to the Hebrews, and it might have been Paul, I don't know, said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I'm not going to preach along that line, but let me just mention this tonight. The same God that saved my wife and I 56 years ago next month is the same God I'm serving tonight. He's the author of our salvation, and He's going to be the finisher. He took me by the hand that night and said, I'll go with you, Glenn. If you'll hold on, I'll go with you. I intend, by the grace of God, to cross over to the other side, over into the glory world, holding His hand. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He that hath begun a good work in you, Paul says, is surely going to finish it. Jude said, that same God that brought you out of sin, surely will bring you, it will keep you from falling and present you faultless before the Father yonder in glory. Let me leave this with you tonight. That God that saved you from sin is big enough to take you all the way. With victory in your heart, with joy in your soul, with a song on your lips. Hallelujah. With victory, with victory, with victory. Brother, this thing is real. Amen, amen. Paul said, I'm confident. I am confident of this very thing, that he that's begun a good work in you is able to finish it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I want you to notice something. He has begun a work in you. He's begun a good work in us. And this is the part that I want to share with us. He did not only say the Lord has begun a work. He said the Lord has begun a good work. I've mentioned this before. I'm going to mention it tonight. I might have mentioned it in Sunday school. God is a good God. Have you found it to be so? And listen to this. Everything that God does is good. Oh, Brother Jones, sometimes we have reservations for everything God. Let me tell you about Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus, when He began His ministry about the 30 years of age, and He went out, the Bible says, and He went about doing good. I'm going to take one chapter. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. I'm going to take the first chapter of the Bible, of creation, just to show you that God does good works. I've jotted it down in the third and fourth verses. Listen to this. All of this is about creation.
And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Verses 16 through 18. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Verse 21. And God created the great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verses 27 and 31. So God created man. In his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Four times mentioned in that first chapter in the creation that God made. It was good, it was good, it was good, it was very good. I want to leave this with you tonight. We can discuss in Bible study how that He divided the light from the darkness even before He made the sun and the moon. But I want you to understand tonight, everything that God made, He made it good. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the next verse says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. When God made the earth, He made it good. Satan was cast out of heaven to this earth, and he made a mess of it. And now in creation, God is taking that mess, that void that is there, and bringing order out of the chaos. God does everything good. You and I were lost in sin. We were way down deep in the horrible pit of sin. Some people thought there was no hope for us. We were lost and undone. But when God reached down His hand and lifted us up out of sin and saved us, He did a good job. I don't keep up with commercials. A lot of them, I like to flip the channel and get away from them. But they tell me that there's a lot of things out that is new and improved. Whatever it is, if it's Folgers, there's some better now, new and improved Folgers. I don't know whether that's on the market. I just said that. I don't know. That's an illustration. I want you to know something. When God saved me, there's no such thing as new and improved salvation. He did a good job. He washed my sins away. Every one of them. He wiped the slate clean. Didn't hold one thing against me. And I'm not here tonight to confess my wrongdoings before this church. I've already confessed them before God, and I'm glad He's washed them away. He's never going to bring them up again. And He don't, I won't. There's no need of it. I'm here to tell everybody tonight, when God saves, He saves good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. And now, when He tells these Philippians that God has begun a good work in you, it's very good in the creation, but God has begun a good work. And I'm going to read it again. Being confident of this very thing, that He which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let me say this tonight. How God, when He saved us, He did a good work. And He began the work the very moment that I said, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Come into my heart. Forgive me. And He walked right in and washed the slate clean. He did a good work, amen. That was the beginning. I go a little bit further. It continues through sanctification. And that salvation is past now. But I come to sanctification. And that is the present. And will be completed when the Lord shall come back again. He's working on me. He sanctified me a long time ago. But the Lord is still working on me, like we had in our Sunday school lesson this morning. It's my desire to be more like Jesus tonight. Or this year than I was last year. I want to love Him more than I've ever loved Him. And I believe the more that I love Him, the more I'll love the unsaved that I want them saved. God, You've been so good to us. That good work that He began in our lives began when we got saved.
is continuing through sanctification. He has sanctified us in an instantaneous moment of time. We committed all to God, but He continues to purge and wash and cleanse and make us more like unto Him. And it's going to be completed in that day when we receive our glorified body. Looking for that day, Paul said, of the return of the Lord. I want you to turn in your Bibles, and we're going to have communion in a few moments. I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight. I want you to think about this. The good work that He started in your life, He's going to finish it. Let Him. Let Him do whatever He wants to do to finish the work. In that Philippians first chapter that I've read tonight, in the 6th verse, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, will keep on until the day of Jesus Christ. He that saved us. This is a statement for Bible study. We are saved. We are being saved. We shall be saved. He said, Brother Jones, what are you talking about? Did you know? Well, we'll discuss that in Bible study. But he says, I thank God for what He has begun in your life. I want you to turn now to the 2nd chapter. And the 13th verse of the 2nd chapter. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. After you get saved, it is God's will to work in your life, to do that which is His desire, that you'll be more like Jesus, that you'll serve Him in a greater measure, that you'll be a greater instrument for the glory of God, that He might use you in a way maybe that you've never been used before. Keep that in mind. His salvation began, what with the Lord began when He saved us, and now He says in that 13th verse, for it is God which worketh with us in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And then turn to the 20th verse of the 3rd chapter. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. What are you saying, Brother Jones? God is going to complete the good work that He started in us one of these days very soon, when the trumpet sounds and the Lord Himself shall give a shout, and we're going to be changed and called out. God is going to complete the work that He has already started in us. What are you saying tonight, preacher? I'm saying this is a journey that we're on. This is a new day of a new year. I represented by being saved. A new day in my life when I got saved. But listen closely, there's no need to stop there. Go on to holiness. Go on to living right. Go on to serving God. Listen to the Philippians, what it says about the Philippians. When Paul was writing to the Philippians, he said, I thank God for the way that you live. You live holy. I thank God for the love that you have one for another. I thank God for your liberality, how that you give. I thank God for all of that. And something else, and I don't have it in my mind right now, but listen up. I want to say something this first Sunday of the new year. I thank God for this church. I thank God for you. We are probably less in number now than we have been, maybe, almost since the very beginning when we had the first service here. But in the midst of it all, God's been good. And I am not here to point any fingers or make any complaints. God's been good to us. And as your pastor, and I say this humbly and honestly because I talk honestly, I thank God for Him allowing me and you allowing me to pastor this past year. I don't know what the next year holds at all. But thank you for being who you are. I thank God for you. And I'm going to repeat what Paul said to the Philippians. I left out one because I couldn't remember, so I got it jotted down. So I want to bring it to our attention. He said, I thank God for you the way that you live. You live holy, separated lives. You've sold out to God. I thank God for your loyalty, your faithfulness to God and to the church. I thank God for your love one to another. And I thank God for your liberality, the way that you've given. And as I was preparing the sermon, reading about those things, I thought, God, I'm not a Paul, and this is not Philippi. But these are people that love God, and I'm going to close, and we're going to have communion. I thank God for the way that you desire to live for God. Sometimes your living on the job rubs some people wrong. They don't understand, why don't you go here and why don't you go there? Thank you for living right. Thank you for living holy. Don't ever let down. It's happened too many places around the world. Abundant Life Tabernacle, don't ever let down the standard. Hold the banner high, not for me, but for Him. Hold the banner high. Live righteously, holy, separated. Then he said, I thank God for your loyalty to Christ and to the church. First of all, to Christ. If a man is not loyal to Christ, he's surely not loyal to the church. Thank you, Abundant Life Tabernacle, for your loyalty to the church. It's been this way in our ministry all of these years. Everywhere we've been, wherever we've been, there is some that when that door opened, you knew that if they could possibly be there, they're going to be there. We've got people like that here tonight. I can almost tell you, unless sickness or something has come along, I can tell you some people are going to be here if they can possibly make it. Thank you for your loyalty. Thank you for your love one to another. Thank you. Sometimes maybe, and I was raised in a different home than you were. We loved each other, but we didn't express it like some people do. And that's all right. If you hug every time you see your loved one, that's all right. If you don't, that's all right. If you kiss them, that's all right. If you don't, that's all right. But thank you for your love. One to another. Thank God. And thank you for your liberality. Next Sunday, the Lord being our helper, we're going to have the financial statement for missions for the year 2011. It is almost unimaginable what you've done. How great God is. And if the Lord tarries sometime between now and June probably, we'll hit the $1 million mark in giving to missions from this church. And I know that money's not everything. But I know this, God smiles upon a cheerful giver. And I thank God for every one of you. Every one of you. And I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what America's facing. I don't know what the world is going to be like. I don't know what the church world is going to be like if the Lord tarries another 3 months or 6 months. But one thing I know, He that has begun a good work in us, He's going to finish it. He's going to see to it that we make it across the finish line with victory. Shouting the high praises of God.